cliffcentral.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of Digital Influence. My name is Ryan Hogarth, and as always, we're talking about the state of digital, the impact of digital on the world around us, how behaviors are changing among customers in businesses, our workforces. Everything is being impacted by digital. So I like to get in people into the studio to talk about this from their perspective, people who are in one way or another at the coalface of the change in the world that we're seeing. And today I have in the studio a journalist, which I thought would be very cool to talk to, because he covers this industry in a broad sense, and probably more specifically in the area of sort of marketing and advertising and how that's changing and evolving. And since he talks to a lot of people about this, I thought we would pick his brains. In fact, it's a bit of a role reversal. I was answering questions for him a couple of weeks ago for a story he was doing, and now I've dragged him into the studio to answer questions for me. So firstly, Mr. Adam Wakefield, thank you for taking the time out to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
So you're with Media Update. You've been working there a year. In fact, yes. Your anniversary is right now.
Indeed.
But before that, you're not an old person, so you're not a sort of old, craggy journalist who's cynical and been weathered by the industry. But how long have you been in the business?
I've been in the media business for about 5 years. I come from a more hard news sort of background. I worked for SARPA prior to its dissolution, and also for News24. And did a bit of freelancing within that period. I've been all over the place as such. Okay. And now I'm at Media Update.
All right, fine. And I guess my first question should be, what is the comment section on your Media Update like compared to News24?
Our comment section is very quiet. I know Media24, they closed down the comment section on News24 specifically for certain reasons, which I happen to agree with. I think comment sections are quite toxic, if you ask me.
And particularly there, listen, they can be fairly toxic anywhere, but they had a particular reputation.
Yes.
And if you were feeling a little too cheerful about life, that was a good place to go to get some.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, fine. So, okay, so you cover this industry. We met, in fact, at an event. It was a launch, I think, by was it Dell, I think?
Yes,
and
that's right.
They'd done a study into the workforce and how that was being impacted by technology and so on. So I guess to start off, I mean, firstly, as a journalist and doing the work of journalism, how is that different today? I mean, 20 years ago, it was all about faxed press releases. But I mean, in terms of sourcing data, finding people to go and interview or developing your stories, let's start there. How's that evolving?
I think there's a differentiation in resources available to newsrooms. In the past, there were only a certain amount of channels for distribution through the newspaper, radio, TV. But since the rise of digital, it's switched the entire revenue model. That's the most important thing that's happened. The whole revenue model of what the news media industry has been built on has changed. Since readership has shifted to the internet, to online platforms, they're not selling as much advertising as they used to. Subscription rates have dropped, and this impacts upon the bottom line, which impacts upon how many journalists you can employ, what sort of stories you can send them on, how deep you can delve into investigations. So in terms of the business side of things, it's had a huge impact. There's less experienced journalists in the newsroom now. There's what they call the juniorization of newsrooms. Experienced journalists cost money, and it's an expensive business running a news organization, a very tricky one from a business model point of view. And in terms of actually producing the news, you're seeing a lot more multitasking journalists. Just with a phone, they would do recording, taking pictures, tweeting, even Instagram, and podcasts, just as yourself. That's also come up over the last few years. And even online broadcasting, services like Periscope, it's changed everything. There's more channels, more news, and there's more citizens doing news. And some say it's easier to do, some say it's harder to do. There's a bit of a lively debate on that subject.
Well, I think there's always a debate about it. One of the arguments is, are we sort of losing quality journalism to just being awash with information rather than journalism? But is there an argument for, you know, given all these new tools and methods and platforms, is there an argument that maybe there's better journalism just because there are more ways to do it or more ways to source information? Or
I think that's a very interesting way to look at it. There is more information. I think it's both a blessing and a curse. There's been the rise of fake news sites, fake news that proliferates over social media, such as Facebook, Twitter. You're not quite sure what to believe. And there's so much information out there, it's become harder for readers and consumers to deduce what is fact, what is fiction. It's also had the effect of, some argue, of putting people into silos. Since they can manage their Facebook subscription feed, for instance, they'd rather follow people that align to their views. So some argue, as we're getting closer through social media, we're getting further away, we're willing to talk less, which has an effect on our political discourse, which is very interesting from a social aspect.
Well, that's a very good point, because you certainly see it with the American elections, if you're following
That's an excellent example, yes.
And I've become fairly adept at, you always see where the link is going in there. They have some bizarre names. You go, okay, well, that's probably not a legitimate news source. Yes. All right, fine. Well, let's take the conversation now a bit more broad in terms of the industry itself. And what are you seeing from a point of view of how people are using digital, trends in digital? Let's talk digital transformation. With what you're covering over the last year, couple of years, or whatever, what are your thoughts on digitization of the world? From your interactions, the things you've been covering.
Well, certainly from a marketing point of view, it's a much tougher game, because it's a subject that you know a lot about how the relationship between brands and customers has changed. The customers are in the driving seat, as they say, and the buzzword going around is customer centricity, where the customer is at the center of everything now. And this relates to, how do you find them, the touch points in which they interact with, how do you target them. They're building up a resistance to advertising, ad blockers, which some say isn't such a big impact, but the threat is real, as they say. So within the marketing space, it's a lot of questions of coming up with content that your customers want to watch instead of being advertising. Mm. Since they have built up this resistance to advertising, it's about creating what they call earned media versus owned media. And it's earned media. And the one escapes me, but they want stuff to go viral. It's about producing content and creating stuff.
Can we make this go viral?
Absolutely, yes. Some say you can create viral content. Some say that you cannot. I think you have to ask smarter people than I for that. So,
and I mean, being in the receiving end of the work of PR companies, and their role itself is also changing and amalgamating, and I think many of them struggle with it. From what you're seeing, are they doing it right? I mean, are you just being bombarded with press releases, or, sort of self-serving, this is how amazing we are? Or are some getting it right? Or what's the state of that? Are they
in PR?
PR,
digital has also caused a huge shift, just from our perspective, what we've observed within the PR industry. There's been a convergence of functions between marketing departments and PR departments. Many of them cross over. The same instance, Sharon Peel, the head of Fleischmann Hillard, said at a presentation during Lurie's Week for the Priest's annual conference. She gave a presentation about a very good case study that they did. And it sounded like a marketing campaign. They fulfilled a lot of marketing boxes that you'd normally tick. And it's very much now, if you're a PR company, you should be focusing on the business imperative. How do you add to the bottom line? Because old PR, some have referred to it as just being a media relations department. PR, I'd still say that they, in terms of the relationships they have with media owners, media buyers, even bloggers now have become incredibly important. Influencers is also a very popular word that goes about, which to me sounds like more of an online celebrity. They have that strong aspect, and then advertising is more about the creative, but they're often crossing over. And that's created a lot of confusion. If a PR really needs to look at the holistic picture, the 360 media picture, and how channels work with one another, it's causing disruption, the D word, I would say, in the industry.
All right. Okay, good. So then let's go. I sidetracked you a little bit there. From your perspective, from what you've seen and covering, how ready are businesses in general for this wave of digitization? Well, let's start with this question. How do you think it is understood what digital means?
No, I don't think so. I was at a very interesting presentation on Friday, where a gentleman from Cerebra within the analytics department noted that digital, you get businesses that are digital and businesses that do digital. Digital is still seen by many businesses as something that needs to be done, a box that needs to be ticked, but it doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, he said that there's often, you still have companies saying, "Oh, right, we'll find the 22-year-old intern or new employee who understands the stuff, stick him in a corner and he'll manage your social media account." But it's not a good thing. Social media should be managed either by the PR department or the marketing department, depending on what your business imperative should be. So I would say social media is maybe not taken seriously by enough companies. It's just something that has to be done, but it is it's very, very important. A lot of it depends on what goals I think you want to achieve. That's very important, the context of the company. But personally speaking, I think there's a lot of room for improvement in South Africa, and also maybe on some of the channels that you use. Oh, they'll have Facebook and Twitter because we have to, but the question is, what are you using it for? What are your business goals? What are your objectives? There's no point in using a social platform without objectives behind it. That's what a lot of people in agencies have said. There's no point in crafting something if there's no end goal, or you have an open-ended goal. That's not good enough. You need to know exactly what you're doing and what you're looking for to achieve on a social platform, I'd say.
And do you see, well, my observation, what I observe generally is often, so you take a marketing department or PR or some section within a business who gets very excited about the potential of technology and what we can do with it, or digital platforms, or some or mobile, you know, let's get an app, and yet there seems to be a massive disconnect between them and their ideas and the people running the show, the people sitting in the boardroom. What's your experience of that, or what do you see in, I mean, I don't know if you experience much of that.
No, it's a fair question. What's happening in the we'll call it the boardroom level versus maybe low levels of the company? I think a lot of it has to do with age gap. I don't want to put people into boxes. You have to be very careful, such as millennials. I think that's a word used a little bit too broadly in the industry, but it has its purposes as well, conversely. A lot of it has to do with age. I think if you're an older CEO, to be on top of all the social media and what's happening in digital and how it affects everything, that's why it's important to have the right people below you to inform you on that. I would say it's more of an age gap than anything else due to the pace being so fast and so quick. Hence, your subordinates. They're the people you need to rely on, teams and people who understand the platforms and know what they're doing. That's just my personal point of view. There's a bit of disconnect, mainly due to age, just due to the fact that you've got digital natives now, Gen Y, Gen X, all these different classifications. Yeah, I'd probably base it on an age difference, possibly, at a guess, I would say. So,
okay, fine. And then, so, where to from here? I mean, what is... I mean, most people I talk to tend to say that have a similar position, that most are not ready for it. But, you know, digital is one of these things that's here and it's coming. It's a tsunami that's – and willingly, unwillingly, we're going to find ourselves being transformed digitally. And I think the thing that's often missed – and it's a point I tend to harp on quite a lot – is the question of culture, where – it is a digitization, digital transformation requires rethinking your culture so that you can respond, so that you can be quicker about what you do. You know, let's have a Twitter account, but nobody's allowed to tweet until it's been approved by four people. And by the time you get the tweet approved, you know, the information's old, it's no good.
I think you touched on an excellent point, just empowering your employees to manage those platforms to the degree where they can be useful. And where they can be successful. And just to revert back to your first question on journalism, a company that seems to be embracing the digital-first attitude is Times Media. They've amalgamated many of their business titles into one website, making it easier for people to come to one platform to read. And they're now looking at introducing a paywall, something that hasn't really been introduced much in South Africa. Yeah. I know Network 24 did it. Mail and Guardian have done it, perhaps to varying success. It's those sort of experiments that are going to push the whole media culture just as one aspect forward. And I think other businesses are watching. And it's tough. It's a very, very tricky thing to do. If it doesn't succeed, what does that do to the bottom line? But that is an example of what's happening in media.
Okay, so the broad statement is generally business is not ready for it. They're not doing it really well. But are you seeing it even a small increase, hopefully, of people that are doing it well and getting it right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. You could probably call it just the natural evolution. And again, it reverts back to a theory I have that as as I said, millennials enter the workplace. I keep coming back to that word. As they enter more important positions within a business, they will bring that digital advocacy, to use another word popular within the advertising industry, with them, and understanding of the platform. And I think the generational change will be an important aspect of it, and people will embrace it. But often I find, especially if you run a digital campaign, if you don't know what you're measuring or what you want to get out of it, digital measurement is one big question within the digital industry. Within TV and more traditional forms of media, there are standard forms of measurement. In digital, there's no one set agreed form of measurement, which in a way hurts them because a lot of the people, I know at Lurie's, there was a lot of chat about digital being first and how do we make it more important. The problem is it's not trusted by people. If you run a television advertisement, you can tell them how much it costs, how many people it reached, so on and so forth. There's still that uncertainty around digital. But I think as it develops more, and South Africa is a little bit behind the curve compared to developed markets in Europe and the United States and certain areas within Asia, we will see gradual change. It has to. That's where business is going. Mm. Same as e-commerce. Even though it's quite small in South Africa, it will likely grow in the future, as people say.
Absolutely. So to sum up, as we know, the tsunami is coming. If you're in business, be ready for it. Figure it out because it is a fact of business today, and there's great value in getting it right.
Yeah, if you're brave, the opportunities are there. It's just being smart. It's about being smart and looking at it. Social media, for example, Snapchat, not big in South Africa yet, but that means there's a lot of first to market opportunity there. So it's about businesses being sharp, wise, and maybe taking a bit of a risk, but the opportunities are there.
So be alert.
Yes.
My guest today on Digital Influence has been Adam Wakefield, a journalist from Media Update. Adam, thank you very much again for coming in and being on the show.
No, thank you. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, and go and check it out. Go and check out Media Update and see what it is they do.
We do lots. Hopefully you'll find it interesting.
Okay, good. All right, and thank you very much for listening and catch you next time. CliffCentral.com.